Good evening, everybody. It is good to see all of you here on this really high and holy moment as we set aside three of our brand new deacons. Some of you might be wondering what is so important about this. Remember, our deacon body, it really means they're our servants. They're the ones that are out there that are helping us, being the hands and feet in Jesus, being living proof of a loving God to a watching world. And today, we have the wonderful opportunity to see these three men be ordained. And I'm excited to be a part of it because I call three of these men my friends as well. And so this is a great time just for our church family to see these three men be set aside to do great things for him. Before we do that, there were a group of men that met with these guys and their families. And I would like, if you are a part of the ordination council, would you mind just standing up, please? I'd like to say their names. These gentlemen, Albert Pittman, Kyle Kroll, John Elam, Rick Carr, Gene Sims, Tom Joyce, Charles Mayfield, Robert Talton, and then Mike Barnwell. He was the leader of the pack. Will you please thank them for what they did to get us ready for tonight? We really appreciate them and what they've done for our church, how you serve them, and how all the deacons really serve our church in such faithful ways. We really appreciate that. At this point, what we're going to do is this, is that we're actually going to call the candidates up here. So if the candidates and their families will come up here at this time. First person I'll introduce is the young man in the middle. His name's T.R. Mayfield. T.R. with his wife Betsy, his children Keaton and Kenna. They've actually started attending Sagemont in 2005. T.R. serves in the golf cart ministry, and Betsy serves in the Sagemont student ministry. Next we'll have, right here to our left, is Tim Rothberg. Tim Rothberg with his wife Crystal. They have two children as well, Samuel and Hadley. Tim pretty much has been attending practically all his life here, with the exception of being gone a couple of years in that. Tim serves in the Roots Young Adult Ministry, and Crystal serves in the Adventureland Ministry. And then our third candidate is Richard Veltman with his wife Christine. We have Brooklyn down there in live and in person, and then we also have Addison that she's in Adventureland right now. Actually, Richard and both Christine, actually, Christine started at 9 years old. Richard's been going here all of his life, but met Christ at 24. He's been living for him ever since. And Richard and Christine serve in the 9:30 Journey Through the Scripture iConnect Bible Study class, where actually Richard serves as the director. So please welcome them and thank them for their service, what they're going to be doing here at Sagemont Church. And at this time, I'd like to call Mike Barnwell. He is going to make the recommendation to our church tonight.
Mr. Moderator, it is with joy and gladness that I inform you that the Deacons Ordination Council has met and fully examined these three dedicated men selected by the church and find them to be dedicated, faithful, and qualified men. We find that they meet all the requirements for serving as deacon and servants to the Lord and to the members of Sagemont Church. Well, we hereby prayerfully and confidently recommend that the assembled church body proceed with the process of ordaining all three of these godly men to serve as deacons of Sagemont Church.
Thank you, Mike.
Church family, before I call you into an official vote, would you let me, as your pastor, call you into church conference? If there be no objection, or if there be objection, you may state it. If not, would you affirm it as I want to call you into conference for the purpose of setting aside these three men to be deacons in our church, to come along beside the staff and fellow deacons and each of you to lead us forward for the glory of God as a body of believers. So would you, I would like to call us into conference. If you're in favor, would you say aye?
Aye.
If you object, would you please state it? And I hear none. So we are in a formal conference now, and What is being done will go into the records of the Sagemont Church as being an official action. Let me remind you that before we proceed, one other time, what our moderator has already said and the chairman of this team, these men have been chosen. Their wives have been carefully looked at in their families and come alongside them for the purpose of being servants of the Lord's bride, the church, and leading our church forward to be everything that God has put us here to be. So you have voted, you have said we are in favor in a church conference a few weeks ago on Sunday morning. And so now, if you are in favor of us proceeding to the official moment, as it was set aside in the book of Acts, chapter 6, when they called out those men and they set them aside, and then there was a very special time of the laying on of the hands. But before we do that, and I'll explain that in a moment, if you're in favor of proceeding with the formal ordination of these three men, would you indicate it by saying aye?
Aye.
If there be any objection, you have an opportunity to speak that now. I hear none, so we are unanimous in setting aside these men. A little later, I'm going to introduce them again, but right now I'm going to ask their families to just go and sit on the front row if they would. And you men, if you would, just turn and face me and spread out across the front here with one on each end. And Brother Mayfield, you'll be jumping center here in the middle. And we are going to have a time when our deacons are going to come and to just pray over each of these men. Now, because of the size of our deacon body, we cannot all go to everyone, but we are able, as a representative body, to bring a word from the Lord in prayer or to invite his presence and his anointing upon you during this time. So would you gentlemen just kneel there if you would. Would our deacons come now and gather behind these men? And would you take the liberty, let me lead in one prayer, and then you can go and proceed with the laying on of the hands. Let me let all of you get in position. If you men would just bow your head in prayer, we will proceed in just a moment. Dear God, the best we know how tonight, we want to take these special few minutes and seconds to just ask for your power and your presence to come upon us. The Holy Spirit, Lord, will not come, and we know, unless we ask and pray for it, and that's what we're praying for, that Holy Spirit will come now and will equip and empower and motivate these three men that have said, yes, they would serve, but only if you would go with them and would fill them with your Spirit and protect and provide for them against the evil one. And so, Father, at this moment, as these fellow deacons come to their brothers to just pray over them, I pray, dear God, that you would just hear our heart as well as the words we will speak. And may every person in this auditorium that understands what a church is and why we do this would spend these next few minutes in personal prayer for these men and their families, their wife, their children, and everything that they do, and pray a hedge of protection around them, that they will be protected from the evil one. Pray wisdom for these men, that they will guide us in the way we should go. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. These men are praying. We've never done this before, but I feel led to do it tonight. If you know one of these three men well, remember your family, maybe somebody you're close to, brother in Christ, and you'd want to come over to one of the prayer rails and just pray for them. That would be perfectly in order, and it would mean much to them, I know, to feel the prayers of a family member, a close friend, or maybe someone that maybe one of these men led you to the Lord, and you just want God to especially anoint that special person. Would you just take the freedom to use these rails on the side as these men pray and lay the hands on our candidates? That's right. If you're in the, all the way in the back, there's plenty of time to come. But this is all about Him and everyone praying. Wherever you are, you need to just pray there if you don't feel led to come here. But let it be a special time, okay?
Jesus, we thank you for this time. We thank you as head of the church for the good times you give us as a church family. This is one of them. We're grateful. It's a celebration. As these three men, wonderful men, bow before you, I know they're doing so in their hearts, for you are the Most High God. Thank you for rescuing them, redeeming them, equipping them, and calling them into service in this place. As they expend energy in serving us in your name, I pray you would breathe life, spiritual life, back into them. May their services, deacons, be a wonderful blessing to them, to us, to their families. And may they be a blessing to you. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Men, please take your comfortable seats with your families. Thank you so much for letting us pray for you and over you. These men have been thought of and prayed for, as you've seen, spoken of, and it may surprise the three of you to know you've been spoken of 2,000 years ago by the Apostle Paul in one of the most clear passages of Scripture on what it is to be a deacon. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 to 13. We've gone through this list before during prior deacon ordinations. I apologize to those who have to listen to it again, but it's not a bad idea to be reminded of these wonderful, wonderful qualifications for deacons. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 18, I'm just going to go down through the list and make a few comments. First, we read this interesting phrase, deacons likewise. Well, you have to back up to see the context of all this. Paul had been speaking about the qualifications for pastors or overseers. He's mentioned that to be a pastor is a good thing, and a good thing and a good work requires a good man. And now he says deacons likewise. You see, it's the same thing. The work of service in the Lord's church is a noble, noble, privileged thing. As with pastors, so too with deacons. They must be men of dignity, men of dignity. I've studied the word dignity. I've looked at it. I've tried to come to grips with it. I don't really know what it means. I don't get it, except you know it when you see it. It just has to do with the way someone carries themselves. Doesn't mean they're stiff and stodgy. Doesn't mean they're rigid. They could have a sense of humor and have a good time, but to be dignified means a deacon must have a good time in a good way. Why? Why is it so important? Well, because deacons represent the ultimate deacon, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." Literally, in the Greek, we could read it this way, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be deaconed, but to deacon." That's what the word deacon means. It means to serve. And one of the reasons why deacons have to be dignified is they represent the ultimate deacon, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And Paul says they're not to be double-tongued. What does that mean? Well, you're going to be ministering, serving in this wonderful church. It's a big church. You'll be visiting from time to time members of the church. It's very, very important that what you say to one, you consistently say to the other. You can't have favorites. You can't tell secrets to one. You can't talk about one behind that one's back. Your credibility as representatives of the ultimate deacon is at stake. And so it says not to be double-tongued. And then it says, or addicted to much wine. So what does that mean? Can you be addicted to a little wine? No, that's not what the text means at all. The point is, you cannot, as a deacon, you cannot be mastered by anything other than the ultimate deacon. Not only must you not be addicted to wine, you must not be fond of sordid gain. To be good stewards of finances is a commendable thing, but to have an undue fondness for material and financial things can get you into trouble. And so the text says, just as you must not be intoxicated with wine, so too you must not be intoxicated with the allure of money. The point is, you have to be free, free to serve. And then verse 9 says, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. In other words, you must know God's word. You must know truth. You must hold to the mystery of the faith, but with a clear conscience. In other words, your beliefs must be consistently reflected by your behaviors. Then verse 10 continues to say, these men also must first be tested. And the New Testament is very interesting in that it doesn't tell us specifically how deacons are to be tested. Why? But I think because the head of the church, Almighty God, left it up to the local church. You three have been tested according to the policies and procedures of this church, and you have been found not to be wanting. It isn't a written test you've been asked to take. It's mostly a test of observation. Your fellow deacons have observed you, and they've seen you to be functioning as deacons even before you've been invited to occupy this most dignified office. Then the text says, then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. So once the testing is finished, as it is in your case, you are to serve as deacons. Notice what it says, not as overseers, but as deacons. In other words, you must know the limitations of your position. Did you know your position is primarily a support function? You're called to serve the church. So deacons are to serve the church, but they're not permitted to run the church. Can you see why a deacon is a very special person? Can you see why the office of deacon requires a very special man? Because he must do it, oftentimes, his service behind the scenes. In many cases, it goes unrecognized, sadly, even unappreciated at times. It takes an unusual man to say, I'm serving as if it's to an audience of one. I'm serving the ultimate deacon. I'm not in it for recognition or fame. I'm not here to control. I'm here to serve. You can be a servant without being a deacon, but you cannot be a deacon without being a servant. And so we read in verse 11, women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. This is one of the verses over which we, I hope, well-intentioned Christians differ. Some say this is a reference to deaconesses, others to the wives of deacon. I'm one who believes the latter is the best explanation based on the context. I think this is a reference to the wives of deacons. Well, now, why would Paul say something about them? Well, folks, no married man can serve effectively as deacon without his wife's partnership, participation, and support. Thank God for your wives who seem to be behind you in this wonderful, wonderful adventure and privilege. And because you do this together, it's very important that the wife fulfills certain of the prerequisites mentioned here as well. And thank God we think you do. Then verse 12 says, deacons must be husbands of only one wife. Isn't that a good idea? And then it says, furthermore, they must be good managers of their children and of their own households. What does it mean a deacon must be the husband of one wife? Well, obviously, it means the obvious, but sometimes the obvious is a little too simple. You know what it actually says in the original language? It says a deacon must be a one-woman kind of a man. So this is not actually a reference to marital status at all. It's a reference to character. It means a deacon, whether married or not, must conduct himself with sexual purity, as if he only has eyes for one. And then the reference to the deacon being a good manager of his household, that should be obvious to us. The home is the proving ground for all church positions. How could God entrust the management of his church family to those who have not managed their home families very well? And thank God for the wonderful way you three have managed things at home. Then finally, verse 13 says, for those who have served well as deacons obtained for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. You see, your tasks are serving tasks, not overseeing tasks. So the office of deacon is subordinate to that of pastor. And the labors of deacons may at times go unrecognized. But this verse says there's great reward for those who have served well as deacons. Two are mentioned here in verse 13. One is this: he will obtain a high standing in the eyes of the Christian community. I don't know if you know this, but we hold you in high esteem, your officers of the church. And then the second reward is indicated here: he will obtain great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. You have faith in Christ Jesus. And somehow, I don't know how it works, but I know it works. In the course of serving others, God builds into you deeper and stronger faith convictions. That's the reward. So you see, the requirements for deaconhood are high. What if a church cannot identify men who fulfill these prerequisites? Well, then, folks, we don't have a church. No church without qualified deacons. Thank God for the wonderful, wonderful body of deacons who have served this church over the years so faithfully. The word deacon is a compound word. Listen to what it's made up of. Two words in Greek: through and dust, of all things. And it's a reference to a man who so faithfully and rapidly does his tasks, moves through his tasks with such reliability that he's stirring up dust along the way as he serves. So in closing, can I just say to you three, Richard and Tim and TR, may you here at Sagemont Church stir up a whole lot of dust as you quickly move through your serving tasks as deacon because of your love and responsiveness to the ultimate deacon, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name you serve. God bless you all. God bless you all. Now I'd like to ask our pastor to come with some closing remarks.
I want you guys to, do you have those license with you? There they are. Bring them up here, would you please? Guys, I'm going to make y'all climb up here with me so everybody can see you. And I want to ask them to come and stand with me and for you to, with a very warm round of applause, welcome into our deaconate these incredible man. God bless you, Richard. God bless you, Tim. God bless you, TR. I will just read one certificate, the certificate of ordination for TR Mayfield, having been chosen as a person of good report, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, and capable of serving well, was set apart publicly to the office and work of the deacon of the Sagemont Baptist Church on this 29th day of April 2015. PR, that one is yours. Tim Rothberg, this one is yours. And Richard Veltman, this one is yours. And may God bless you. And I want us to, first of all, I would like to close the church conference. So we are now out of conference. But I want you to just stand for a moment and let's have a prayer, a unanimous prayer of dedication of these men to serve the Lord as deacons at Sagemont Church in Houston. Dear God, we lift up our hearts in one accord in thanksgiving to you for bringing these three men and their families to this Sagemont family, and then have a willingness to, along with all the other responsibilities they have, to take on this one, to serve the more than 19,000 members of this church, their families, their friends, their workmates, all of these people that desperately need you. And these men have said, we'll come along beside the deacon family and help with this magnanimous task. So bless them, we pray. Open up the windows of heaven of protection and provision and love and wisdom to not only these men, but their wives, and give their children wisdom. Everyone, regardless of their age, may their wisdom come from heaven. Protect them, and may all of us understand that our responsibility to pray doesn't stop tonight. We must continue to pray for them and their fellow deacons and their families. In Jesus' name, we promise to do it. Amen.